Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And if you remember, David and his men had just been sent away from the front lines, the fight that was about to occur between the Philistines and Israel. The Philistine commanders didn't trust him. The king trusted him. Philistine king did, but the commanders didn't. So they sent him back. We pick it up there in chapter 30, verse 1. It says this: "Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag." Negev is the southern region, the south country. "And on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire." And you're thinking, wait, where have we heard Ziklag? I've heard that. We've mentioned it before. This is where David and his men were living. Now watch what happens, verse 2. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way." So the Amalekites had come through. They had raided this whole region through here. They took the women. They took everybody, but they didn't kill anybody. They just captured them, took them. Verse 3. "When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive." It would have been evident that the city was burned with fire, right? They could tell that. Well, how did they know that the wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive? Yeah, there was no evidence. There was no dead bodies laying around. Okay, they were all gone. If they had killed them, they would have just left them there. But they're gone, so they're assuming that they've been captive. Listen to this, verse 4. "Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep." Are we perceiving here the roller coaster that is David's life? It sounds so much like ours, doesn't it? So he had just been set free from having to go to battle. And he said, "No, I'll go to battle with this Philistine king. Yeah, I'll do it." But God protected him from that. So he'd just been set free from it. That's sort of a high point right there. He's going back. He gets home. The whole town's been burned. His wife, both his wives, and everybody else's wives and kids are gone. They're missing. They're crying. They weep because of this situation, until they could weep no more. Well, could it get any worse? Yes, it could. Verse 5. "Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite." So both David's wives had been taken. Listen to this, verse 6. Moreover, which means what? On top of all this, "David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters." Let me stop right there in verse 6. David was greatly distressed because his own people, his 600 men here, were speaking of stoning him. Why? Well, it's understandable. They were embittered. They were embittered because their sons and daughters are missing now. Yes, they'd gone with David. Yes, they had hitched their wagon to David, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they were embittered, and we totally understand that. And David was distressed because now not only is Saul after him, not only is he living in a land of his enemy, the Philistines. Sure, the Philistine king thought David was great, totally trusted David, thought David was on his side. But David knew better. He knew that he was living in the land of the enemy. And now his men are turned against him. So what do you do? End of verse 6 says this: "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Well, there we go, folks. There we go. These are great accounts, are they not, that we're reading? They're great historical narrative. They're great accounts. You don't have to spiritualize these things to find out, you know, what is it that God's speaking to us. You just pay attention to people's lives and learn from it and glean from it. You know, learn from their mistakes. Learn from their victories. David's greatly distressed. He's been weeping to where he can weep no more. His family is gone. His people are turned against him. They're talking about killing him. He strengthens himself in the Lord his God. We're not told exactly what he did to strengthen himself. I feel sure that he worshiped. I feel sure that he prayed. There's several psalms that we believe that David wrote that give insight into what he did when he was in these kind of situations. The next couple of verses, though, tell us point blank one thing that he did do. He inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord about something. So listen to this, verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech. Now remember, Abiathar was the only one that was able to escape when Doeg killed all the priests, Ahimelech and all the people that were with him. David says to Abiathar, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now the ephod was like a mantle that they would place over their shoulders, and only a priest would do this. And yet we see David using it. Okay, you would put this on, and it actually had a breastplate with stones on it, 12 stones. And the Lord spoke in some way through this. There's all sorts of theories and conjecture about how this worked. We simply do not know definitively how it worked. But we know that it was a device that was used in inquiring of the Lord. It wasn't the only way you inquire of the Lord, but he chose to do this. Verse 8 says this, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? So instead of just reacting in emotionalism, because his emotions are blown, he's weeped till he could weep no more, right? The people are coming against him. They're threatening to kill him. He goes before God, and he asks God, hey, should we go after the people that have come and done this? And then he asks, shall I overtake them? Is it, shall I overtake them, or is it, will I be able to overtake them? Can I overtake him? Will we overtake him? And God said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. See, so often when we inquire of the Lord, he will give us more than we ask for. David just wanted to know, hey, do I need to pursue? God's one word answer, pursue. And he says, shall I overtake him? And God said, not only shall you overtake him, you will surely overtake them. You will surely overtake them. And then what a word of encouragement, an extra little phrase that God gives as an answer. And you will surely rescue all. Not only are you going to overtake the enemy that has done this to you, you're going to rescue all. If God is telling him that he's going to rescue all, what did God just tell David? He just confirmed that his people were safe, that his wives, that their children, that all was there to be rescued. God says, pursue, overtake, rescue. There's tremendous encouragement in that for me. I think there's encouragement in that for all of us. So whenever we face these type of things, keep this in mind. Take it for the Lord, ask him. And don't be shocked if he comes back and says, yeah, pursue, overtake, you're going to rescue him. Well, my time's up. Again, I'm Dale. We'll continue the account in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.